Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine. We have a phone line open for you, so dial 888-ASK-HANK and join us on the show. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just a couple of comments about my latest resource available for your support of the ministry, part of the Hankronym series, Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage. It is a 4x6 laminated flip chart developed to equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. I want you to consider for just a moment these words. They're by Sandra Tanner, the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young. She said, "The Mormon Church has a PR department probably better than anybody else's. And they're very careful in painting a public image that tries to make Mormonism sound like is just about the same as evangelical Christianity, but it really isn't." I think it's kind of similar to saying that a cat is a dog. So how wide is the divide between Mormonism and Christianity? Many conclude that the divide may not be nearly as wide as many might have supposed, despite the fact that Mormon founder Joseph Smith made this emphatic declaration: God has not been God for all eternity. And presidential hopeful Mitt Romney has made a concerted effort to minimize the differences between Mormonism and Christianity. While his references to Jesus Christ as Son of God and Savior of humankind might sound manifestly orthodox, in reality, as a temple Mormon who has served as a bishop as well as a stake president, Mormon knows full well that the Jesus of Mormonism is clearly not the Christ of Christianity. As such, Mitt Romney has obscured the face of Mormonism through the manufacture of a Mormon mirage. Every Christian who truly loves their Mormon neighbor enough to confront them with the truth must become equipped to see past the mirage of Mormonism to essential doctrinal differences that separate Mormonism from genuine Christianity. To help you grasp these differences, I've organized them around the memorable acronym Mormon. It is crucial when you talk to a Mormon to keep in mind the Apostle Paul's instruction to speak the truth in love, but yet to speak the truth, to be silent in the face of the Mormon mirage is an abomination to the calling of a Christian called to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We are called to communicate the truth. And in the Mormon Mirage flip chart, I also equip you to know what you believe and why you believe it so you can use the deviations as springboards or opportunities to share the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. That includes Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims, garden variety pagans, everyone who has not as yet embraced the only one who can bridge the gap between our sin and the righteousness of a Savior. Again, the Mormon Mirage, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can pick up the phone and talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. You can go to the World Wide Web and order in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do remember, for your gift to the ministry this month, I will send you this very valuable resource. And again, we are committed not just to give you a data dump of information, but to give you the information in memorable fashion so that you can use it to make a difference while there is yet time. The number to dial to get your question answered today, as always, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. A lot of people hanging on. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up is James. He's listening in Garner, North Carolina on WTRU. Hi, James.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call, Hank.
You are welcome.
My question relates to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and the sin they committed when they disobeyed God, as related to also, Satan's fall. I've been hearing lately some people try to say that the sin entered the world prior to, you know, Adam and Eve and their choice. And I was kind of trying to understand, because certainly, as far as the timelines, Satan and his demons were thrown out of heaven down to earth, I take it. And I'm just wondering how all that lines up as far as was there sin prior to Adam and Eve?
Well, a couple of things I would say. First, there was sin in the sense that Satan rebelled against God, and so did a third of the angels. But when you ask specifically about sin entering the world, the Bible says that sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. You see that very clearly communicated by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5. And as a result, the whole creation was subjected to frustration and decay. The federal headship of Adam extends beyond humanity to all of God's creation. Even the ground, I might say, was cursed as a direct result of Adam's rebellion. And not only that, but the present curse and the promised redemption extends beyond the ground to even the very animals that walked upon it. And one other point in this regard that I think is helpful for people to internalize, and that is just as the death and resurrection of Christ is responsible for the salvation of repentant people throughout all time. In other words, Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. So the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden is responsible for every natural evil throughout all time, which is to say for every natural evil, future, present, past, and even in the distant past preceding the fall. So the fall of Adam accounts for that natural evil of the nature red in tooth and claw that preceded the fall as well.
All right, and what was the scripture you mentioned for that Paul had?
Well, Paul in Romans chapter 5:12 contends that sin entered the world through one man and then death through sin. It's not a singular passage, but that is a good place to start. You can cross-reference to other passages in the Bible, including passages in Corinthians.
Great. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You got it. Thank you so much. I've written about this in various places, including my upcoming book, The Creation Answer Book, which will be available sometime next year. It's already at the publisher, going through the process, and it will reach bookstores sometime next year. We'll be keeping you abreast of the timing as we get closer and closer to the date. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Mike in Los Angeles, California. Hi, Mike.
How you doing today, Hank?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Hey, I have a quick question for you. I was told by an older friend of mine who's a pastor. He told me that when he and his wife were younger, that they basically were watching a movie, and well, his wife was watching a movie while he dozed off on the couch, and it was some sort of a horror movie, and because of that, she allowed a demon, I guess, into the house, and then later that night, they say that their bed was literally lifted off of the ground and that the curtains were opening. Now, to my understanding from listening to your show for as long as I have, demons, based on Luke 23, I believe it is, they do not have the capability to take on physical form. So my question ultimately is, how, and I've heard stories like that over the years, how is it that could a demon physically lift a bed off the ground or open the cupboards or so on?
Absolutely not. And that's why you have to take some kind of an experience and test that experience in light of the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, which is the Bible. You're called to test all things, hold fast to that which is good. So no matter how much someone wants to believe that a demon can pick up a bat or bite them or scratch them or throw an orange at them or whatever else it might be, you can be certain that this is not true, because a biblical worldview says that demons by nature are non-physical, they're non-corporeal. Not only that, but they do not have, as you pointed out in the prologue to the question, they do not have the ability to take on form because they do not have creative powers. Only God has those creative powers. Now, a lot of people, when they hear me say that, they think right away, well, what about the angels that appear in Scripture? And certainly when I say demons do not have creative power, I'm not suggesting that God does not have creative power. God does have created power, and therefore he can take on the form of a man, such as the Lord and two angels that appear to Abraham on the plains of Mamre. But yeah, this is a completely category distinction in which God, who has creative power, is doing something which is within his power, where Satan does not have that same power, and therefore he can tempt you, but he can't bite you. He can, as it were, sit on your shoulder, whisper in your ear. The whisper cannot be heard with a physical ear, but it can penetrate the ear of the mind. And therefore, in spiritual warfare, we should learn to put on the full armor of God. I fear that pop culture beckons and postmodern Christians take the bait. And so we get our theology from movies like Rosemary's Baby or The Exorcist, as opposed to getting our theology from the Bible.
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling I had as well. This man that I know being a pastor, I don't want to say that I know I didn't just believe him just because he's a pastor, but I just kind of thought that's weird. I don't think that's possible based on what Scripture says, but I figured I'd at least try and give you a call and hear what you had to say. So,
yeah, you got it. I've written about this in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And I should remind our listeners that all those who profess to be teachers or all those who have platforms in the church should be subject to being questioned. It's not that they have an unquestioning authority. We should test all things, as I said, and hold fast to that which is good. Think for a moment the Apostle Paul. Here's an apostle to the Gentiles who writes two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, and yet the Bereans check him out. And Paul does not get indignant and say to them, "How dare you check me out? I am the great apostle Paul to the Gentiles, called specifically by Jesus Christ to my commission as an apostle. You should not have the temerity to check me out." Paul doesn't do that. Instead, Paul counts them as being more noble, because daily they examine the Scriptures to see if these things are indeed true. And this is precisely what we should do as well. We should be so familiar with truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. The problem today in modern evangelicalism is we are getting our cues from the culture, and therefore, we're no longer change agents in the culture, but we're microcosms of the culture. And that causes Christianity to be impotent to transform the culture, which is precisely what we are being called to do. All of this leads me to this remark. We should know that we know that we know that God has spoken, that the Bible is, in fact, divine as opposed to merely human in origin. It's not something we hope to be true. We're not left in a Christian worldview with blind faith, but rather with faith in irrefutable fact. And has God spoken? My latest book, what I do is I lay this out for you so you can remember the information, and then I answer the attendant question, if God has spoken, what has God said? In the process, you become equipped to read the Bible for all it's worth, mine it for All Its Wealth, which is a major mission of the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'll send you a personalized copy of Has God Spoken as my way of saying thank you. And we need many of you to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. You can't imagine how important this team is to touching lives all around the world. You can join the monthly support team when you go to the web at equip.org, or just pick up the phone, dial 888-7000, letter CRI. I'll be right back with your questions answered right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Hank Hanegraaff's latest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, is the third volume in a trilogy dealing with the three great apologetic issues: origins, resurrection, and the reliability of Scripture. In the first book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, Hank shows that naturalistic evolution is much more than a theory about man's origins. It is a comprehensive worldview that determines how you live your life. In Resurrection, he demonstrates that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the capstone in the arch of Christianity and the hope of the believer. Without resurrection, there would be no Christianity. Now, in Has God Spoken, Hank validates the supreme authority of sacred scripture. Through memorable acronyms, he refutes modern skeptics and equips you with the assurance that God has indeed spoken. You can order this trilogy in a special package from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or order online from our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment. For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity. The Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flip Chart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth and love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Since the advent of the internet, pornography has been influencing and shaping assumptions about identity, sexuality, the value of women, and the nature of relationships. Yet little discussion has focused on the neurobiological aspects of its allure, addictive properties, and long-lasting effects. Dr. William Struthers treats this provocative subject with candor and clarity in his article, The Effects of Porn on the Male Brain. Other topics include Dr. J. Richards' feature-length summary critique of Alistair McGrath's new book, Darwin and the Divine. Steve Gregg writes on the obligation of blessing Abraham's seed, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
the Christian Research Institute, we exist to equip you to fully understand your faith so you can defend it against the many voices of skepticism and doubt so prevalent in today's world. But we hope you know that only God's provision through friends like you makes this possible. We're completely listener-supported, so every life-changing resource is a gift from someone like you. One of those resources we'd like to send you is Hank Hanegraaff's latest flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage. In an easy-to-remember format, Hank exposes the radical differences between the teachings of Mormonism and essential Christian doctrine. To receive your copy of the Mormon Mirage flip chart and help support the work of the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick heads up, I'm going to be, not this weekend, but next weekend, at a men's fall conference in San Bruno, California. And I'll be at all three Sunday morning services, not this Sunday again, but a week from this Sunday. And then prior to that, October 14th, through the 15th, I'll be at the conference. You can find more details on the World Wide Web at equip.org. So check that out if you're anywhere in that area. It's around San Francisco. Love to see you there. Love to meet you. Love to talk to you. Autograph a book for you. Have you participate in an event that hopefully will be life transformational. Let's go to the phone lines. Next up is Tim. He's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada on CHRB. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Hank. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just want to, first of all, tell you, Hank, that I've been listening to your broadcast for about 3 years now, and I really appreciate your ministry. I appreciate the essential Christian doctrine teachings that you provide. It certainly has been very beneficial to myself and to my wife. Hank, the question I have today is in regards to the ongoing discussions about Mormonism. As a Native American, I grew up on an Indian reservation, and the Mormon church or the Mormon religion, they have churches established on Native American reservations across the United States. And one of the appealing factors that they tell Native Americans is that they are one of the lost tribes of Israel. Could I have your perspective on that, please?
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much for the kind comments. As far as Native Americans being somehow or other descended from Israel directly or being a lost tribe of Israel, that's flatly false. In fact, DNA evidence has demonstrated that to be flatly false. And there's a CD we have available, or a DVD that we have available at the Christian Research Institute that points this out in graphic detail. This is where all of this comes from, however. It's the Book of Mormon, which is the record of two civilizations. And in Mormonism, this is how it goes. There are the Jaredites who leave the Tower of Babel and then immigrate to the Americas 2,200 years before Christ. And by the way, you can imagine immediately from that statement that these cannot possibly be Jews because the Jewish ethnicity does not even exist at that time. And then they say the second group migrated from Jerusalem around 600 BC and then divided into the two great nations that they write about copiously, the Nephites and the Lamanites. Now, the Lamanites, according to Mormons, were white and exceedingly fair and delightsome. And then because of their sin and their wickedness, the Lord God, they say, caused a skin of blackness to come upon them, and they become the principal ancestors of the American Indians. So rather than that being something that would appeal to you, I think it would be something that would disgust you. It's a completely false story, and it isn't particularly flattering.
Well, I certainly agree with you, Hank, but the spin that Mormons put on this is they make it appealing to Native Americans in explaining that to them and trying to convince the Native people that they are in favor, or they find favor with God.
Right, and the problem here, again, is exactly what you just point to, and that is spin. This is a spin machine that continues to operate, takes things and puts them exactly on their head. How this could be flattering to a Native American is just beyond me.
Well, Hank, I certainly appreciate your perspective today, and once again, I want to thank you again for your ongoing ministry, and I support you 100%.
Thank you so much, Tim. God bless you, my friend. And also, you know, think about how this cashes out in their theology. The lone Nephite survival and the final battle with their Lamanite enemies was this mighty military commander named Moroni. You see him on the steeple of their temples. And along with his father Mormon, Moroni inscribes in Mormon lore at least the most correct of any book on earth in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics, and then buries it in the hill Cumorah. And then the story continues that that Moroni is resurrected as an angel, and he appears to the prophet Joseph Smith in 1823, and he instructs him to find the ancient record and its translation into the English language. And so Smith finds, with these directions, some golden plates along with a pair of magical eyeglasses, and then he uses the eyeglasses to translate the Egyptian into English. And that's how you get the Book of Mormon, which supposedly chronicles the personal ministry of Jesus Christ among the Nephites soon after his resurrection, and then puts forth the doctrines of the gospel, outlines the plan of salvation, and tells men that they have to do something to gain peace in this life and eternal salvation in life to come. Very different from the historic Christian faith, which says nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. So while we work from our salvation in Christianity, we never work for our salvation, and certainly don't have three different heavens, a telestial, terrestrial, and celestial heaven. It's a completely different gospel. It's a completely different authority. And the issue here is what corresponds to reality. The Book of Mormon doesn't correspond to reality. It's based on flawed anthropology, as we've just pointed out, but also archaeology has absolutely dismissed the Book of Mormon as being credible. On the other hand, the Bible has been demonstrated to be credible. Therefore, the Book of Mormon is not the most correct of any book on earth. It is perhaps the most incorrect of any book on earth. It shouldn't be the keystone to anybody's religion. What should be the keystone is the Bible, because you can demonstrate, as I point out in my latest book, that God has indeed spoken. To wit, the title, God Has Spoken. Has God Spoken? And the answer being, yes, God has spoken. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jackie, listening in Kansas City, Missouri, on Bot Radio. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Hank. I've been listening to your program now for a couple of months, and I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to change the subject here for a moment, if I may.
Oh, absolutely.
I would like to ask you about this organization called Tomorrow's World, whose founder is Roderick C. Meredith, and in particular, this one question is, according to Romans 2, chapter 2, verse 28-29, it says basically that we're all true Christians and we're all spiritual Jews, and we are bound to keep the spiritual laws and the holy days that God gave Israel. That's my question. Should we honor that?
No, absolutely not.
Should we honor not only recognizing Christ is the Savior, but also the Sabbath days and the holy days?
No, absolutely not. We shouldn't, because once the substance comes and fulfills the type and shadow, to continue with types and shadows is tantamount, as the Book of Hebrews makes plain, to trampling upon the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So to go back to temple priest and sacrifice or any similar ceremonial laws in the Old Testament when they have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ is to go against the biblical teaching. Jesus is a lamb slain. His blood is better than the blood of bulls and goats. Nor do we have to go back to any civil and ceremonial laws that pointed to Jesus when the ultimate substance has come to fulfill those civil and ceremonial laws. Therefore, true Israel now puts their hope in what has already come in the fullness of time. That is redemption through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the problem with Roderick Meredith and his telecast, Tomorrow's World, is that this man is a splinter group of a movement which was first formed by Herbert W. Armstrong, called the Worldwide Church of God. Now, what's beautiful is that the Worldwide Church of God, as a group, has come to faith in Christ and has recognized that they were involved in a cultish mishmash from a sociological perspective and, in some cases, from a theological perspective as well. It was this muddy amalgamation of all kinds of false doctrines and practices. Now, however, the leaders in the Worldwide Church of God, including the Pastor General Joseph Tkach and his son, who became the Pastor General, is now the Pastor General of the Worldwide Church of God, they have come to faith in Christ and they've thrown off all the nonsense. But there are splinter groups that have grown up around Herbert W. Armstrong's teachings, and they still embrace all the heresy, including rejection of the Trinity, Christ's divinity and humanity, the person and deity of the Holy Spirit, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, salvation by grace through faith alone. He's also embraced Anglo-Israelism, legalism, human divinity, and exclusivism. So this is a cult, we would say, from a theological perspective, and they've got a lot of cultish ideas from a sociological perspective as well.
I see. Okay, Hank, I want to thank you very, very much for clearing that up for me. And I want you to have a wonderful weekend.
Well, thank you very much. I had the privilege of writing the foreword to Joseph Tkach Jr.'s book, Transformed by Truth, in which he overtly does what anyone who has been radically transformed by truth does. He openly confesses that he had given his life to error, but he now rejects that error and embraces truth. And I've watched him grow and develop, and I've seen his commitment to reaching people within the Worldwide Church of God who are still clinging to the false doctrines of Herbert W. Armstrong. And he has paid a huge price for it, but it's a great example of being willing to do for the truth what the cults do for a lie. Doing what you do because truth matters. Living life not from the perspective of temporary things, but rather from the perspective of eternal verities. What Joseph Tkach Jr. and many others, including Greg Albrecht and many of the other leaders who once embraced these cultic doctrines, have done is simply astounding. And if a whole movement like that can turn to Christ, imagine what is possible. We might yet reach a movement like Mormonism. Nothing is outside the bounds of God's grace, but it takes people equipped always to be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. And that, of course, is why we do what we do. We'll be right back with more of your questions answered right here.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man will return in a moment.
Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creations. Their wonder and mystery has captivated children and scientists alike. With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, as well as a navigational system, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer. Order Metamorphosis on DVD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity. The Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flip Chart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth and love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. When we look at the natural world, we see a realm overflowing with beauty and meaning. To his credit, Charles Darwin did recognize instances of extravagant natural beauty that outstripped the explanatory power of his theory. Yet his response was to explain it away. In particular, Darwinism seeks to explain away our sense that beauty in some way connects us to the transcendent. In the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal, Dr. Jonathan Witt's article, Darwin vs. Beauty, Explaining Away the Butterfly, critiques the flaws of Darwinian reductionism while illuminating the wonder and design found in the beauty of God's handiwork. You can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal online at equip.org or by calling 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And since you brought up the Christian Research Journal, the cover story in the brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal is entitled The Effects of Porn or Pornography on the Male Brain. It is pretty terrifying, quite frankly, because pornography is epidemic, and it has touched the Christian church deeply. It's a very addictive behavior. You'll understand exactly why it is so addictive and the damaging results in terms of the male brain. This is not hype. It's not sophistry. It's not sensationalism. It's the truth. An article that you need to read, and one more reason you should subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without, you can order online at equip.org. You can also subscribe by simply letting me know that you want to subscribe when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or pick up the telephone. Talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. When you see this magazine, you'll start to recognize why so many people in the Christian world say, wow, this is the best-kept secret in the Christian world. Why didn't I know about this before? I have pastors saying that to me every week virtually. So trust me, subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. You will be very happy that you did. Let's go right back to the phone lines, talk to Mark. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Mark.
Hi, it's an honor to talk to you. I was initially going to ask about Herbert W. Armstrong, and then I caught the end of your last caller's, answer. But one thing that does intrigue me about some of his writings is the fact that the people we know as the Jews today were separate from the lost tribes of Israel, and that he claims that the lost tribes are still lost today. They lost their identity, and it still hasn't been revealed who the lost tribes are. I mean, have you read anything on that as far as his teaching?
Yeah, I mean, this is all part of what we talk about when we say British Israelism. It's the idea that the 10 tribes of Israel were lost when they were captured by the Assyrians under Sargon, and then they resurfaced in the view of Herbert W. Armstrong in Northern Europe as Anglo-Saxons. And as you correctly point out, they also maintain that Judah represents the Jews who were under a divine curse and should not be identified with Israel. So they segment out Judah as a tribe. They identify it with Israel or modern-day Jews, and they say this is not really to be identified with Israel, but rather British Israelism makes the lost 10 tribes that resurface the Anglo-Saxons. They're the real Israelites. Of course, historically, this is implausible. When the Northern Kingdom in Samaria were captured by the Assyrians, devastated, a lot of the 10 tribes were simply killed. The rest of them were assimilated into other cultures in the ancient Near East, and even those that were remaining within Samaria and the Northern Kingdom were assimilated by the other people that were repopulated there, and they became, in New Testament sense, the hated Samaritans, at least those hated by the Jews as Samaritans.
I understand. I've read pretty much on this. I found it interesting, so it's a little study that I'm doing. What about in your the promise of Abraham, his claim that it was divided by Jacob right before Jacob's death? Judah was to retain the scepter, and then Joseph's two sons received the other part of it as far as, their seeds would multiply like the sands, and they would be world leaders and all that. I mean, he does point out some interesting, verses to where, to back up that claim anyway. What do you?
Well, just as the other claim is spurious, so too this claim is spurious. Abraham had a name change. He was Abram, and he became Abraham, which meant father of many nations. And Abraham, from a biblical perspective, only had one royal seed, and that royal seed was Jesus Christ, which is to say that if you are in Jesus Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So biblically, it's never got anything to do with your birth mother or your ethnicity or your genealogy. What it does have to do with is your spiritual relationship to Yahweh, the God of Israel. And that's precisely why you can see Ruth, who's a Moabitess, the arch enemy of Israel, in the lineage of Jesus Christ, or Rahab, who was a Canaanite. The wicked Canaanites were virtually destroyed because of their evil, and Rahab, however, believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and therefore she was brought into a community of faith with types and shadows looking forward to Jesus Christ. And ultimately, Jesus Christ comes through the lineage that is depicted in the Old Testament. And so we see that the lineage follows from Abraham, not through his first son, but through his second son.
And yeah, further, I understand that through Judah, but what about...
No, his second son was Isaac.
Oh, I know, but I mean, it went on down to Judah after Jacob. Jacob, you know, basically blessed Judah, but he also blesses, I forget the ones of Manasseh and maybe Ephraim. I don't have it in front of me right now, but, you know, Jacob, and they are two half... Egyptian boys. There are two boys that Joseph had with an Egyptian woman, and he also blesses them, and the wording appears to be he's giving some of the blessing that is to be passed down to these two boys of Joseph, which made the 12 tribes in effect 13. I mean, this is his writing, and you know, I'd never heard of the man until I read this book, and it really intrigued me, and I'm really studying, trying to find him wrong, but I really can't find anything that you know, says what he's written there is wrong.
Well, one of the things that might help in this regard is my new book, Has God Spoken? Because you'll see the ancestry and lineage of Jesus Christ, and that's the point. The point here is a lineage which leads to Jesus Christ, who ultimately merges out of the house of Israel's quintessential king. So it comes through the tribe of Judah, through the house of David, and ends up with Jesus Christ, who is the royal seed of Abraham. But the point that I'm trying to stress to you is that there is no such thing as Israel by nationality, but rather Israel by spirituality. Certainly there's an ethnic Israel, but all who are in Christ are true Israel. There are those, says the book of Revelation, in the words of Jesus Christ, who say they are Jews, but they're not Jews at all. They're a Jews at all. They're a synagogue of Satan. So the point is, true Israel is true Israel by spirituality, not by nationality. I'm going to have to leave it at that, but there's more information available in various places, including The Apocalypse Code, one of my former books, and then Has God Spoken? Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to AJ, listening in Longview, Texas. Hi, AJ.
Hi, Hank. Oh, my gosh, I love yourself so much. You are just so knowledgeable. You have really helped me grow as a Christian and really get into my Bible more. My question is, basically, I grew up Church of Christ. I was taught that Church of Christ was the only church. And I was baptized in this church at a early age, around 10 or 11, because I was scared to go to hell. As I've gotten older, I kind of searched and read my Bible more and kind of went on a church tour trying to find a church that was just biblically based. I didn't want a church that condemns music in the church and condemns everyone else, saying that, you know, basically their church is the only one going to heaven. And I just wanted to get your perspective and view on that.
Well, I think you've come to a true valuation of things. And by the way, thank you so much for your kind comments. Here's the issue. The Church of Christ, at least the part of the Church of Christ that thinks that they're the only true church, because the Church of Christ in general is not a monolith, it's multifaceted. But the branch that thinks that they are the only church and you have to be baptized by them using their formula, and if you leave their church, you're not part of the body of Christ, that is a heretical group. And you have recognized that. And I think that, furthermore, you've recognized that we are Christians by our commitment to essential Christian doctrine. And these are the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. They become foundational to the gospel. And we can stand shoulder to shoulder with people in other denominations or other moves of the Holy Spirit as long as we adhere to essential Christian doctrine. And therefore, we can say rightly in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. Unfortunately, as you've again correctly pointed out, the Boston Church of Christ movement and churches within that particular genre within the Church of Christ end up being exclusivistic and legalistic and then just plain wrong in terms of what they teach with respect to baptism. It's sub-biblical. Find a healthy, well-balanced church and connect with a church that holds to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and don't be led astray. I'm talking not to you now directly, AJ, because you've come to a true valuation of things, but to other people who are led astray and manipulated. If I leave this church, then I'm leaving Christ. No, that's not the truth. We stand with the church universal throughout the ages that has expression in local churches that hold to a central Christian doctrine. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. We'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, the chances that I'll get to you are pretty much 100%. If you're dialing in right now, I'll try to get to you as well. The number to dial for the next hour, here's that number, 888-ASK-HANK. It translates to 888-275-4265. The easiest way to remember it, however, 888-ASK-HANK. You can continue dialing that number for the next hour, and I'll be answering questions for that hour, and we'll play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I'm traveling. So call me right now with your questions, 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. For your gift to the ministry this month, we have a brand new resource. It's a flip chart, and I use the acronym Mormon to dispel the Mormon mirage, which is being churned out by the Mormon propaganda machine. The Mormon Mirage flip chart, available for your gift. Check it out on the World Wide Web, equip.org. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for joining us today for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to help you understand complex Bible passages, to help you grow closer to God, and to equip you to defend the faith in our culture. And part of that commitment is to offer resources to you that will accomplish that. So contact us today. Call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.